Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. Have called me to this passage, and I'll follow though I'm worn. May this journey bring a blessing. May I
Talk Radio. We'll be back from the other side, Nathan.
Try again, and then call me back to my cell, and we'll party up.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Okay. Welcome, everybody, to Blog Talk Radio. It is March 21st, the very first full day of spring, 80 degrees here in South Carolina, and presently at 9 o'clock tonight is 75 degrees. And
I'll
they say we are winning a thunderstorm. And we know that changes the ionization in the air. And we've got a great woman of God here, a great scientist, a great nurse, mother, and a friend to all who meet her, Dr. Rhoda Zeyon-Alali, a wonderful woman who's doing some very pioneering things here in America and in Canada and across the world for that matter. because the message has gone abroad and is falling on ears everywhere. And Dr. Lally, we welcome you to the call, and to our other guest and co-host, welcome, welcome to this call, 2017. Dr.
Lally. Well, Anna, I want to thank you for being the angel in the city, and certainly to Jonathan, our engineer for this evening. Welcome, everyone on the line. To my family in Canada, who continues to inspire me to do great things, and my family across the United States. I'm going to give a shout out to my brother, my nephew in Paris, right outside of Paris, France. I encourage him to call in on the line that allows him to call in internationally so he can hear what his sister is doing in the United States. Matter of fact, we're going to have to get him on the line. You heard from my brother, who is a retired NFL player, around Christmas time. And now you got to hear from my brother, who is a famous basketball player coach in Lyon, France, just outside of Paris. And my nephew, who's a professional basketball player in France, both of which have nanos, the technology in their phones, and wear it occasionally in their shoes, but they love the technology. They love it. And so tonight is a pretty incredible night because my heart is really heavy. My heart is heavy because last week we had such an amazing show with Monica, Morgan's mother, and what the news that we got Tuesday night after the show and early Wednesday morning was that Morgan had her first night ever with no transitional seizure in the morning. And that was like a huge miracle because we turned her upside down and she was actually getting the frequency from the window from Soli. She has continued. She had that one night, and then she's had a transitional seizure almost every night after that, but they've been like for seconds instead of like 10 minutes. I think she did have one this week that was like 5 minutes, but even that is half of what it usually is. So, you know, we're going back and looking at, well, what did we do? You know, was there a certain position she was in, or what were the dynamics around the bed to see if we can get a repeat performance? And so that has been kind of the news that went back and forth all week. The other thing that was so unique this week was I was invited to speak at a Jewish community center. And it was on Friday, which they have a lot of activities called Shabbat, because rest is very intentional and very sacred. It's a sacred covenant to enter into the day of rest. And it's like an invitation. It's like the celebrations. I spoke at this Jewish community center. These seniors were interested in what they could do to make their environment better, and they were totally blown away. They had no idea that they were facing these environmental challenges. And the woman that invited me to speak has been like a godmother with extraordinary experience, because we had gone to her house the night before to see her. She was having a little difficulty breathing because myself and her daughter, who is like a sister to me, and she's a registered nurse, so we got in talking that nursing lingo. And it was just so amazing. We went to leave, and she said, "Dr. Lally, now I want to pray for you, and I want to pray for my daughter, because God is doing some extraordinary things." And this prayer was almost like an impartation, because this lady is like the community mom. Everybody loves her. She has such a distinguished life. In fact, she was scheduled to receive an award from the governor of Pennsylvania and the mayor of Pennsylvania on April the 3rd. And she was also scheduled to receive the Coretta Scott King Legacy Award on April the 27th. And she had worked for some weeks to get the invitation for me to speak at this Jewish center. I have a number of doctors who have, we've done their houses, primarily in Atlanta, and they had heard about our work there and wanted us to speak at the center. So I spoke, did the demonstration, it was fantastic, went for the Shabbat lunch, met my first female rabbi, was delighted at the songs of children that sang that in each of us there's a little bit of peace, in each of us there's a little bit of hope, there's a little bit of mercy, and there's a little bit of light, and there's a little bit of love. And these children were so profound as they sang to, oh, I don't know how many people was in that room, maybe 60 seniors, and they were telling us to let our light shine and let our love shine, because if you bring your little bit and I bring my little bit and someone else brings their little bit, pretty soon we got a lot of love, we got a lot of light, we got a lot of peace and a lot of mercy. And it was so profound. And this lady, Miss Melvana is about 5'3" maybe. Very profound woman. At the Jewish conference, she gave some final remarks at the conference, and she said, she exhorted everybody to love God and to let His love be resonant in them. It was so profound how she ended this conference with these powerful words of human affirmation, because at the end of the day, I was doing some research and was talking about it takes 500,000 sperm to make a healthy baby. They enter the race to fertilize an egg and make a healthy baby. And so if you're in the earth, it's because you're already a winner. You're already chosen. And she exhorted everybody to love one another, no matter what race, no matter what creed. And she gave me some kudos. She said that was a profound presentation during lunch. We giggled, we laughed. We talked about mother stuff, daughter stuff, family stuff. And I had to leave to go catch a plane and to go to my next destination. And I told her daughter I would drop her off on the way. Life is so precious. Life is so short. Before I could get to the airport, my phone rang. They said she was so joyful. She was ecstatic with joy because the conference was excellent, the meal was excellent, the Shabbat was excellent. We had communion. Everything was so intentionally sacred. And they said as she walked outside to get on the bus to take her home, she just made her transition. She collapsed on the ground, but she passed away. She made flight. And it was like a sadness came, almost like a cloud that tries to cloud out the sun. But I could feel her spirit was so joyful and was so radiant that you could almost hear the heavens singing that she had come home. And she told me before she left, she said, I know it's difficult for you to be out here as your colleague, as a registered nurse, and you're birthing this new care model, and you're enlightening people of what already exists. She said, but keep the faith and journey forward. And I'm so glad that I had the warmth of her inspiration and her validation, so to speak. Because the radiation in her home was over 1,000. When I demonstrated what we were doing, she could really see the validity and why medicine has got to move to addressing environmental factors. Then by the time, because she was so dear to me, I said, well, I can't get on this plane. I've got to show my respects, my regards, see if I need to help her family get through this. And this time has really given me a reflection of how it's like she gave me a gift of joy and encouragement to journey forward. It was like she pumped me up like I was maybe a flat tire. And her radiance and her joy and her spirit was so powerful. It's like she left me in a place of great encouragement. Then I went back to the hotel and I picked up the USA Today newspaper. And I opened it up and I was just like a big smack in the face. Because it was talking about that there's such a drug crisis in the Midwest. This heroin and opiates are the problem. It's a heralding problem. Such that in some cities, they talked about Stark County in Ohio. That's, I believe, on the Pennsylvania border. They have to rent cold storage places where you put furs and you have like hunters, you know, store mink. They collect their mink furs and store it in cold storage places. They are now having to rent cold storage places for temporary morgues. There was like 1 week where Ohio had over 88 deaths from heroin alone. And so coming to the show tonight, as we begin to reflect on the chemicals that are household chemicals that are converging that can make people feel, have an overwhelming sense of anxiety and paranoia. At the same time, having that experience, I was visited by some of my young family members. I am actually a great auntie. I can't believe that I'm blessed to see now the second generation of my parents' seed, of their lineage. And to hear these little 2 and 3 and 4 year olds call me Aunt Rhoda. Some of them call me Nana Ro. They call me the grandmother title. You know, I just answer by everything. And one of them had a little attitude, and she was really giving her mother the 1, 2, 3, 4. And so I took her aside and gave her a little chastisement. But I could see that she was clearly swollen, and the face was swollen. The hands were puffy. The feet was puffy. This is you're talking about a 9-year-old, actually an 8-year-old. And I began to inquire about her bedroom, how she was sleeping in. Mother said her bed was in the wall. So we have a new system. We call it the bed blocker. It's going to be out here sometime in May. It's a sheet that goes in between the box spring and the mattress. Because as we've been talking about for all these years, acids and electromagnetic frequencies, the static and electromagnetic fields, can cause you to demineralize. And I told her mother, I said, on the way home, I want you to pick up some vitamins, and I'm going to meet you over at your house in a few minutes. And I just happened to have some of the prototype with me. I said, I'm going to put this in her bed. And I want to... Yeah, just tell me what happens. So she picked up some multivitamins, some of those gummy vitamins. The little girl took 2 of them. We put the blocker in her bed. She went to sleep, and I saw her the next morning as she was going out the door for school. She said, I had the most amazing sleep. I feel really good this morning. I feel really happy this morning. And her mother said, well, that's a change. Usually in the morning, she's like, you know, the morning grouch. I said, well, could it be that she had her head off the wall? And she was, we took down some of the static in the room, and she had some vitamins and minerals. I think it's important for everyone to discuss with their doctor, the wellness practitioners, what kind of supplements you need. Because the world, bipolar, schizophrenia, rage, abusive behavior disorder, are all in an epidemic proportion. There is so, people have such anxiety disorder that when you look at the research of why people say they use drugs, 90% of them are saying they're using it for emotional management. They can't handle the loss of someone. They can't handle the relationships that they're engaged in with people who are so verbally abusive and violent. And so they want to self-medicate. They can't handle the loss that they've had. And so on the show tonight, I really want to raise the consciousness that people are hurting, and may you be empowered with grace and mercy to withstand and move forward and continue to care about humanity. Continue to see the needs and speak an encouraging word. Seeing people who are raging. And I want to put a warning out on the airwaves tonight. I had lunch with some doctors a couple of days ago, and they were telling me about a heralding situation. Have you ever heard of the medication lisinopril? Lisinopril. L-I-S-I-N-O-P-R-I-L. Lisinopril. Lisinopril is used to manage high blood pressure. It's widely used. It's been used for decades. But what they're finding for African-American people and people of African descent, that it can create anxiety and short-term memory loss. There are millions. I would say 9 out of 10 of all my friends that have high blood pressure are on lisinopril. So if you know anyone that's taking lisinopril for high blood pressure, you need to tell them to consult with their physician, especially if they're African American, because now they're saying lisinopril can cause memory loss and all kinds of emotional impairment in people of color. African American and people of African descent. So having said that, the good news is that I was contacted today, that I will be receiving the Coretta Scott King Legacy Award for my heralding efforts to continue to be a beacon of light and continue to just state what's already there. The amazing thing about environmental health is that the codes that say electricity causes injury, chemicals cause injury, and that we can damage the formed elements of the blood are red blood cells, white blood cells, platelets from sustained exposure to high electric fields. This has been in medical literature for 35 years. Now, this is old information resurfacing to become new information or information that empowers care models that get environmental adaptation and environmental health care into mainstream medicine. We are excuseless because the information is all there for us to be able to evaluate people having electromagnetic hypersensitivity, sensitive to electromagnetic fields with all kinds of illness and disease manifestation. And so as I go forth to empower you, to your doctors, your physicians, we are almost ready to launch what's called the, we're calling the E-485. The E-485 is a medical necessity form and a prescription formulary for doctors that they can sign for your homes to be adapted due to electromagnetic hypersensitivity or chemical, multi-chemical sensitivity. We're just at the technical end. The document's already been developed. You know, the doctor's already signed off on it. Now we just have to get the technical people to load it up. So what you're going to be able to do is you're going to be able to download it. You're going to be able to pay for it and download it from the website, or it's going to be sent to you. And you can pay to have it custom filled out with all the demographics and everything, your name. So all you got to do is take it into the doctor, and they can sign off on it, and you can use it to advocate getting reimbursed for adapting, getting your home adapted and retrofitted. And we are in our second defense to get in health insurance to pay for our family. Everybody in this family has some kind of illness, and their doctor has said that it's from the environment. She has diagnosed them with idiopathic environmental illnesses. And our technology, the insulators and the bioharmonics are indicated. We've been able to show that we can successfully reduce static electromagnetic frequencies by about 99%. I mean, we can get that technology. We can get it this down. And it was amazing to see in Morgan's house how the technology, how the radiation levels were like 1,200. Now her house is like from 3, a microsurge of 3, and I think the highest that we saw was like 22. So it's really impacted her health. I mean, she's doing everything. She's got this little transitional seizure that we're just believing God, that God is going to give her doctors insight to her formulary, and they've adjusted her medication. She's not on nearly the dose and the strength that she was on. So that's great news. And so scientists and medical practitioners are beginning to look at what exactly, how does EMF affect your health? And one of the things along the psychological, the neuropsychological border and management protocols is that there is reference information that when your head is laying in more than 200 BMUs of radiation or 200 hertz of radiation, and you can do the math, the equation of hertz to milligauss is 60 hertz equals 0.5 milligauss. For those of you that might be listening who are engineers and want it in potential energy. But they're saying that when you lay your head in over 200, you can actually decrease the energy in your theta wave. That's what you manage your emotions with. And you could have a sustained state of depression. So they're looking to see, can this electromagnetic frequency influence the level of anxiety, with the divorce rate being at 70% and 80% of our governing body, the administrators, employees of our governing body are needing some type of anti-psychotic. We have a lot of nurses even that work in the intensive care units and operating rooms that are on Prozac and antidepressant because they're in those wireless environments wearing all those wireless devices, and nobody is setting forth any type of protocol or accountable reporting of how much radiation they're being exposed to. Yet, in the radiology department, if you're a nurse working with x-rays, you got to wear a dosimeter. they are looking at how much ionized radiation you're being exposed to. And all these years, I thought that was some kind of safety mechanism. It has absolutely no function for safety. It's just a quantifying device that lets them know when you've had a high level of exposure. And this is what's so interesting, that ionized radiation poisons the blood. When it's metabolized, it breaks down to alpha particles and gamma waves. And if you're breathing it in from radon, it breaks down to polonium-210. So, having said that, you know, I appreciate everybody being on the line tonight. I do want to give a shout out to the McCullough family for the loss of Miss Malvina McCullum. She was dancing. Could you imagine? This lady was so strong. She was a liturgical dancer in her church. And for her 80th birthday, she gave like a recital. Dancing at 80 years old, you know the lady had a blessed life. And I just want to reach out to each and every one of you on the line to thank you for your quest, for your journey moving forward, because we are making life happen. We are making communities safer. And I was on the line this morning with these millionaire young people, these millennials out of Los Angeles, and I was just so impressed by what they were saying today, because they were talking about the goals. They were talking about being intentional and having some goals. And we have set forth some goals. I heard Rod talking about going public. Rod, we are in motion to go public. I hope that will be something that's going to be happening in the nearer future, because we've been positioning to go public for about 18 months since our campaign with Youngevity. And we've met with some security lawyers, and they've given us the goals and the plans, and we've got some people trying to line that, because we really, you know, going public would give us a lot of resources to leverage and to do some of the things that need to be done. But it's so highly technical. I mean, just to even think about going public, you've got to have like a money bag of $100,000 just to step into the arena. And so we were cautioned, to Dr. Lowley, when you get at that level, you've got to have some qualifying data. And so that's why we've been working so hard. The main goal was get us so that we can be verified, quantified, and then we're in position to go public. And that's what we've been working on intensely, that goal for 1 year, because we have a plan. And our plan is to go to the four corners of the earth and help as many people with this technology that we could possibly help, and to continue to inspire people to join the team in investigating it, because each and every one of you have brought some kind of different use and application of the technology that has been very rewarding and balancing for your own lives, the lives of your husbands and your spouses, your wives, the lives of your children, the lives of your friends. And it's with the hope, it's with your belief, that this campaign has been strengthened and moving forward. And I couldn't have done it by myself. I tell everybody, this is a movement of God's kingdom in the earth. I'm a woman of God. I'm a woman of faith. And when he told me to step out and do this with my little resources, I felt like the woman that had a little oil and a little flour. And I was going to make a pancake and die, because they told me that I would be dying. And when I started making the technology and the people started, they couldn't pay for it, they started asking me to share it. And I began to share it with people that were sicker than I was with cancer and having all kinds of battles. And I remember we did a campaign for breast cancer called Walk the Block. And when you had to walk 4 blocks, you started out at my lab and walked the block, and we came back, you know. I had little heart flat batteries made that only lasted about a week or 10 days. And people got a trial. The frequency would dissipate out of them very fast. But they got to see what they were like, and we got so much feedback. We had almost 300 people that participated in this little country town in this Walk the Block for breast health. We've been able to do so many things along the way. I was just looking at the Cleveland Clinic. When we launched at the Cleveland Clinic, we first got started April the 29th of 2010. We made our first debut at the Cleveland Clinic. We donated 400 flat batteries to be given away to the participants of that health fair that they had there. We were invited to test that, you know, the efficacy of whether or not our technology could be used, you know, in multi-population, multicultural population, to first identify how many people were electrosensitive, number one, and number two, would the technology work for everybody? We had 100% batting average. Everyone that demonstrated electromagnetic hypersensitivity through applied kinetics also demonstrated a rebalance when the technology was put on their own personal cell phone. So we have a history. We are still celebrating with Morgan. We're celebrating with Destiny. April, as we shared last week, is the Edward M. Kennedy Institute Youth Global Leadership Award. So there are a number of other children in the network that are going to be recognized for things that they've done with this technology. And, Rod, thank you for sending me pictures of your new, the new members of your family. I had a doctor contact me in Chicago. She had gotten the biobalancer and cut it in half. She had an 18-month-old. She put a half in the heel of each shoe. She said that she felt that the child became so intuitive. It was like learning all of a sudden became a breeze for him. But she said he could interpret her spirit. She knew when he came home when she had a really bad day from treatments that were not working for patients, or when somebody was non-compliant and she got really upset about it. And he became almost like her nurturer. He anticipated her coming in the door, and he immediately engaged her to comfort her, to nurture her. And she said, it's like he became an old man. He said, this child is so intuitive. And I said, well, you know, when your body is balanced, we did come from heaven to the earth. And it's amazing how spiritually we are connected to one another, how we nurture one another, how we affirm one another, how we lift one another, how we pray for wisdom to serve one another. And it's been because of that energy, because of the light of God in each one of us, we have pathways that have taken us to so many different horizons of learning and rebalancing with the people that we serve. It's a miracle. I mean, I think about the fact that this technology was engineered in a small town, about population 7,000, in between two resort lakes. It's a quarter horse country. Matter of fact, Clinton County, Ohio, produces more pigs than any other county in any state in the United States. So if you ate a pork chop tonight, the probability that it came from this little town is real. And so how do you make a nanotechnology? And my house is out on the edge of the city. And all of a sudden, 10 years later, or 7 years later, I should say, it's in Canada, it's in France, it's in Nigeria, people are taking it around the world and sharing the miracle of it wherever they go. That, to me, is a miracle. How, in this little town, I shared the technology with one person, and that led to more people, and that led to more people. And it, even the people that brought it to Canada, I had talked to them for almost 5 years before they believed enough to want to see that technology and share it in Canada. And so it's been amazing to see the grace of God and unfold in this technology. And so tonight I want to open up the testimony lines, and we are 2 weeks away from April the 3rd, when we're going to be setting up video conferencing for the 37th annual, it's Black History Achievement Awards, but they're giving the Ralph Elwood Award for Environmental. And I have submitted so many names for this award for people who are pioneering new trends in environmental health and environmental safety. This gentleman was the first African-American forester, and his whole philosophy was how we could preserve the integrity of the earth, of the land, to have the highest vibration of life and health. And he had to forge against great opposition. You know, people called him a quack and a cuckoo, you know, for Cocoa Pops, too. But he was steadfast. He finished the University of Pennsylvania and became a revolutionist in preserving how the land is maintained for health. And I think it's so fitting with our quest, because we're preserving not only the land, but we're advocating, you know, for indoor health and indoor quality. So I'm just going to open up the line tonight. If anybody has a testimony, I want to hear it. And I encourage everybody to get on Affirmation Nation. I gave the phone number out because they were talking about goals, plans, and steps. I kind of modified that a little bit. And I'm talking about goals, plans, proclamations, and steps. Because the more I live, the more I see. You have whatever you say. If you curse your life and you curse the lives of others, you weaken them. You decrease the energy. That is a scientific fact. If you haven't read anything on Dr. Emoto, the scientist that proved that water is hypersensitive to the words you speak. If you speak hatred into a glass of water and say, I hate you, you can cause the molecular structures of that water to lose life force. You can take that same glass of water and say, I love you, you're wonderful, you're beautiful, and you will create some of the most majestic crystal forms in water. And so he travels the world blessing water in places that have great despair and great sickness and great poverty. He takes thousands of people to these places and blesses water. He blesses lakes. He blesses rivers. He blesses streams. He teaches people that water is heaven in the earth. So if you're fortunate to live near water, you need to be intentional about being out there and blessing that water to be full of love and full of grace and to create a vibration of mercy and servitude. This, all of you that are on this line that are so engaged in, you know, educating your communities about environmental health and safety, I mean, we have an anointing on us. We're servants of the earth. You know, Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, might even call us earth prophets. There are some people that are put in the earth for the keepers of the land and keepers of the environment. That's a special anointing that you're called to, because all of you, so many of you have labored with me for so long. That is so amazing. I wanted to bring a young lady on the line tonight, the coordinator of the catwalk. She's also an environmental advocate, but she had that surgery, so hopefully she'll be well enough to join us next week. But I want to open up the lines. Anybody have any testimonies they want to share?
Dr. A, it's Len. I have a question.
Okay, go ahead, Len.
Have you had any experience with anybody with acne?
Acne, yes. Acne and skin warts. Acne in the face and acne all over the body. And I have three people who got the power shower. They said within like 1 week, 90% of their acne is gone. Another person, one of those three people, swears that if they don't bathe in the power shower, they'll have acne. And then, if you remember Heather, my goddaughter was on the line talking about her daughter, Kaya, had warts on her feet from years of playing in the creeks with frogs and reptiles and all kind of bacteria. She had these warts all over her toes, and after about 6 weeks of bathing in that biobalanced water through the power shower, those warts went away and never came back. Of course, she bathes in the power shower every day. So, do you have anybody that happened to? Or are you just asking?
Hello?
I'm here.
Yeah. Well, this lady has acne, but she also has the indentations in the skin that can go away. It's with her constantly. So this would clear it up?
Well, this technology is an electrical safety device that was never engineered to treat, cure, diagnose, or prevent disease.
Right.
Usually when people have indentations in their skin, it's because they've had such severe infections in their sebaceous glands, and they can correct, surgery can correct that. She needs to get evaluated by a gastrointestinal doctor because sometimes your GI tract, you don't have enough probiotic enzymes to digest, and you can get acne like that. I mean, that's like a severe case when you've got all those indentations. So they need to correct your diet. They need to supplement you with enzymes or probiotics. You know, the doctor will be able to determine what kind of care regimen is needed.
Well,
and
she's tried probiotics. She tried probiotics. It didn't do anything.
All right. Well, there are doctors that specialize in that particular type of challenge. And I don't know. She's in Montreal?
She's in Valleyfield.
Okay. So that's in
Montreal.
That's in Ontario. Yeah, which province is that in?
Quebec.
So we have to, you know, she needs to go to a dermatology clinic at one of the universities there because that's where usually the cutting-edge trends for skin care are, and just see what the current treatment regimens are. I'm sure she's been to a lot, but I tell people when you got complex care like that, you should try to get on either a research study so you can get all this free care for free, or you need to go to a university where you have the latest and greatest practitioners and treatment regimens. And that's what I recommend you should do.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll tell you another thing that is kind of a holistic approach, and that is to get some unpasteurized apple cider vinegar and to create a gentle scrub with it. It does astringe the skin and helps to stop acne, but it also can biobalance the skin, and some of that may correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks very much.
Comment. Oh, you're so welcome, Lynn. Please tell Brian I said hello. Any other comments tonight? Well, I do appreciate my team. A big shout-out and hug to our engineer, Mr. Hill, Nathan on the spot, who's lifted us up to the international community. It's amazing to me how many people are listening in to the MP3, his archives, to get this, hear what we're talking about tonight. But I do want to close with a prayer for Ohio, for Stark County. We're in a huge crisis in America. People are hurting. People don't even feel loved. People don't feel important. People don't feel significant. So before I pray, I want to leave you with this word of expectation or exhortation. Imagine you're having this conversation with God, the great creator. And you're looking at humanity through his eyes. And if we go to Psalm chapter 3, you see God having this major conversation with David, and David is kind of at that place. He's like, God, why are you so mindful of me? You know, why are you, you're such a big God. You're such an important being in the earth. Why do you even care and attend to men, especially men, that don't want to do your will or even have a relationship with you? And God responded to David with the most interesting dialogue. He said, David, because I know. He said, the reason why I'm such a merciful God, he said, because man is like a flower. He comes to bloom in a season. And then he withers away. And so if I just took that snapshot, I can say this. You're a flower. I don't know what kind of flower you are, but I know you're a beautiful flower. I have yet to see an ugly flower anywhere in the world that I've traveled. And your assignment for the week is to go to the flower shop and get a flower and experience the gentleness of a flower. You're going to find the leaves are so soft and gentle and vulnerable that if you hold the flower too tight, you can crush the very life of it before it has the opportunity to bless you with its aroma and its fragrance. When you look at humanity through the eyes of God, you will never waste your breath talking about or even thinking about who is insignificant. Because if you were born, you were born to solve a problem and to love somebody and to be loved by somebody, because you are precious. You're a flower. And so my exhortation to you is bloom. Be all you can be. Be all the beauty you can be. David said to God, he said, it is your gentleness that has made me great. He also said of God in Psalm 23, that God, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't have to want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the waters, and there he restores my soul. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't even have to fear evil, because the God who created you, who made you beautiful like a flower, who made your soul so tender, that it's through the power of gentleness that you become strong. I'm talking about warrior strong. It says that he prepareth a table in the presence of my enemies. All these years, I thought that was like a ha, 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 I got this, you don't. But that's not what that was. I had a young minister about 21 years old. He had the nerve to speak at this church and have them bring a table, put a tablecloth on it, and bring in all this food The chicken looked like it came from Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they had some real pound cake in the cake plate. He said the table that's in the presence of your enemies is for reconciliation. There are a lot of people out there that don't believe that there's an environmental problem. They don't believe fire burns, and they don't believe chemicals kill. They can watch signs all day long that say, warning, non-ionizing radiation, a registered carcinogen with the Food and Drug Administration. They can look at that label and say it means nothing. Somehow we have to get these people to this table because they want a war zone, and we're trying to empower them so together we can save lives. Because the thing about environmental sickness and toxins is that we all die. Because I don't care what color you are, I don't care what kind of house you live in, whether you living in a $4 million home or a $30 million home next to Beyonce and Jay-Z, or you've moved into Michael's old house that he was renting, you know, up on whatever the hill it was in Los Angeles, or whether you're in a shack on the ocean someplace. If the air is full of chemicals and there's massive infrastructure of radiation, it's going to affect your quality of health. The Los Angeles Times published a huge article, Why Are All the Rich Having Autistic Children? But those big mansions have every bell and whistle of wireless infrastructure you can imagine. I have a colleague in San Francisco in a community of the cheapest house is $10 million. She's got a rare blood disorder. She's fighting something that looks and presents like leukemia. The young man, 42 years old, across the street, her neighbor right in front of her, had a heart attack several weeks ago, and his $10 million home. So together at this table, the hope is that we can bring peace. We can say, listen, we got a plan to get this stuff lower so we can at least preserve what we have. We may not have all of the facts. We may not have all of the answers, but we have enough to get started. So that's my word to you. Go get started. Be an angel. Be the most beautiful flower. Be gentle. Let God do amazing work because there are so many people hurting. They need a drug. They need a drink. They need two packs of Keebler Rich and Chip cookies to quiet the emotional storms that are in them. And so let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this time of fellowship, God. Father, we thank you that you are God that heals the nation. We bless you for being the exceeding God. And we thank you. We're asking you to look upon Ohio tonight, God. Look upon nations of the world where the drug problem is seizing entire families, entire generations. God, you said that you would not be far from people with broken hearts. So we just release your love and your grace and your peace. We bind up every force of darkness that's warring against the families in Ohio, the families in Canada, the families in the United States, the families in our world. Strengthen love everywhere. Strengthen mercy everywhere. Strengthen our ability to see not just what's on the surface, but what's inside. Give us words that are intentional to sustain life and encourage living, encourage hope. Strengthen our children. Give us wisdom to love them. Give us wisdom to love one another. Give us wisdom, Father God, to serve. Because at the end of the day, if we make safer environments, we all win. If we sit back and do nothing, we lose. If we fold our hands and chain ourselves inside, then we lose the future and we lose those who would care for us and care for the legacy that we've been. So now, God, we thank you because you're the exceeding God who created us, who made us flowers. You made us beautiful. You made us to contain your love and your mercy and your grace. And with that note, fortify us to go forward and educate, continue this revolution, continue this hope, continue this movement of educating humanity about safer environments. And the gift that you have given us through these nanotechnologies, Father, may you put all the infrastructure in place for us to be able to go public and be us and to be a world phenomenon, because we are a world-class technology. And we thank you for doing the exceeding, because in the next 5 weeks, we will be meeting with some people who will be able to move us into a global market and into an IPO that we can be public to. And we thank you for being the exceeding God. In the name, Lord Jesus, we decree it is so in your heavens and it is now in your earth. Teach us above all things how to love one another, how to fortify our hope and our strength. I thank you for my Canadian team, God, and how they work together as brothers and as family. I thank you for the strength that they give me. I thank you for my South Carolina team and how they carry my voice to the nations. I thank you, Father God, for my New York team and how they're helping me all these years. They've helped me to archive so much and put together these curriculums. So we're ready to go now. We're like a Thanksgiving feast, every component. We have the education model. We have the service model. We have the manufacturing infrastructure. We have the sub-manufacturing infrastructure. We have a nano lab to develop. There's so much we can create, God. It's just incredible. It's endless what we can do and what we can create. So we thank you for being the Most High God, high and lifted up, and we praise you for the flowers that we are. Let us bloom and let no force of darkness take our glory. I decree and declare by the authority of your love for us, we shall be born, we shall bloom. The fullness of our life shall be manifested, and people will live because of the love that's in us. In the name of Lord Jesus, we decree it so. Amen. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Dr. Lally.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
So he died on Calvary.
He did it.